This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi guys, we'll start with the broadcast section with no embargo, followed by an embargoed section for 10:30 p.m. tonight. No live tweeting during the broadcast section and use the microphone provided. Michael.
Hi Andrew, okay?
I'm good, bud, thank you.
Can I just get the team news? Obviously, the big news probably Destiny's serious injury.
Yeah, from sort of the last game. Disappointing one for Destiny, for ourselves as well, because it's been a big part of our year and... just an unfortunate sort of incident of training. And, he's had the operation. It's gone well. So hopefully gives him time sort of pre-season to get back into it. So we'll miss him. Skippy picked up a small knock as well at training, so he'll miss this weekend. So they're kind of the outs apart from the long-term ones. And Pedro and Richie both trained all week, so both available.
It's obviously been a long break since that Newcastle defeat. I'm sure you probably wanted a match straight away, and Arsenal have had four games since, but has there been any positives, maybe the longer term injuries, the Van der Ven's, the Madison's, maybe just to have maybe a couple of weeks, has there been any positives from that, or did you just want a game straight after that Newcastle match?
You prefer games, absolutely, especially this time of the year. It's kind of unusual to sort of have, 2 weeks of no games at all, particularly when, there's a fair bit of football happening and, you're not involved. So we've tried to use that time as well as possible. We've trained hard. The players, to be fair to them, have embraced that and trained. But, definitely looking forward to having a game, that's for sure.
I know you've always said, fourth this, doesn't matter whether it's fifth, Champions League, it's about progression in the next season, everything like that. But North London Derby, such a brilliant match. But then it's Chelsea on the Thursday, then it's Liverpool, three huge matches. Will you know more maybe about the squad you've got at the moment and where maybe you are as a team at the moment after those three massive games?
Look, every time you're out there is a chance to measure yourself, for sure. I've got a fair idea of where we're at and sort of what progress we've made, what progress we need to make. But it's just another great challenge for us. As you said, there's three big games and then we finish the season with three games. So and they're all games of consequence for us, for the opposition. So I think the players are looking forward to that as well. This time of the year, usually you want to be playing for something, and certainly the games we'll be involved in will have something in them. So looking forward to it.
Such a special game, this one. I know you had a taste of it at the Emirates on in September, and probably unlucky maybe not to have got the win in the second half. But there's a feeling among some Spurs fans that a priority is that whatever happens with Spurs this season, they don't want to see Arsenal win the league. Do you understand that? What's your take on that, with some fans feeling that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair enough. Again, I'm not going to dictate how fans feel or what they feel is important. We understand the importance of the game, and we understand the importance of, you know, particularly at home in these kind of games, to not let, you know, our biggest rival or you know, and the biggest derby for us get on top of us. So we understand the consequences and of that, but yeah, ultimately it's still, you know, about us trying to measure ourselves against the teams we want to be challenging on a more consistent basis, and it's a great opportunity to do that on Sunday. Thanks, bud.
Good afternoon. Good seeing you. Obviously, Newcastle United and Arsenal, they present a different challenge. Their league position is very different as well. Mm. But overall, what's the biggest improvement you want to see as a collective ahead of a very tough task at home this Sunday?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, I don't think one's a reference point for the other. I mean, you know, the Newcastle game, it was really disappointing for us on a number of levels. Yeah, obviously the result was poor, but the performance didn't anywhere reach the levels we wanted to. But I think we've learned a hell of a lot of it out of that. The players have learned a lot out of that. But irrespective of that, I think, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done the previous game. You know, when you're playing in such a big game, a derby, particularly at this time of the year, where like I said, there's great meaning to the points, I think, for both clubs. Yeah, what's happened previously, whether that's the immediate past or further back, becomes irrelevant, because you know it's going to be a tough game. You know, it's going to have a bit of an edge to it. Be a great atmosphere. You just got to get ready to sort of make sure that you match those levels with the performance.
Because of the timing, because of what it means to the fans, the rivalry. Does it feel for you personally as the biggest game for you as a Spurs manager since you joined the club?
Look, I mean, I think every game's important. You know, I take every game seriously, and every game's a big game. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, we're trying to impress on this group of players, is that that's the nature of the Premier League. It's relentless, you know. And if you're kind of not 100% focused on each different challenge, then you're going to come up short. So, you know, I always feel the next game's the biggest game. But I understand the context around, you know, a North London derby and what it means to our supporters, for sure.
Question about Arsenal, please. As a project, obviously, started well for Mikel. They won the FA Cup, but then they had difficult times. How impressive have you been with the way Mikel has been leading this project, and also the support he's been receiving in transfers and also during challenging times?
Yeah, I think I've said before, I think, you know, it's no coincidence the teams that kind of are up there consistently the last 2 or 3 years are teams that have had a clear plan on what they wanted to do and have stuck by it. You know, and I think Arsenal's a great example of that. You know, I think, yeah, Mikel's done an outstanding job, and I think it's been recognised by the club, and they feel he's the man to lead them forward, and they've supported him ever since then. And I think there's a blueprint there for sure for every club, but it's not as simple as just saying we'll just, you know, stick to the same process. Every club's unique, every club's a little bit different in terms of how they rebuild, but you know, it's a credit to Arsenal, and like I said, Mikel more than anybody, that they've been really disciplined about building a side that they feel can bring sustained success, and you know, they've been challenging now for the last 2 or 3 years to do that.
Ali.
Hi, Ange. If you don't mind me asking, how did Destiny get the injury? Was it non-contact? Was it a collision?
No, it was non-contact. He just went to have a strike, a goal, and sort of by himself, and he got the injury.
Does that just kind of show how unfortunate you've been? I think, was it even Perisic, Manasseh, they were both non-contact as well.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I've been around long enough to know that sometimes these things happen in football, and, you know, you try and sort of create, you know, the best possible environment for players, but even within that, there's always the possibility that these things will happen. So, look, unfortunate for him, because obviously he had the Euros as well, and there's, you know, he had a really promising season for us. He learnt a lot, he was progressing, and but again, this is just part of a footballer's journey. You know, he's going to have to deal with this. Every footballer has some point, has a setback. So, you know, if there's one silver lining, like I said, it did happen just before the off season, where he's not going to miss a chunk of the season. You know, hopefully everything goes well, and, you know, he's ready close to the start of next season.
Dejan Kulusevski's become a dad this week. How's he coping with the maybe sleepless nights and training and everything all suddenly?
It's great for Decky. I know he's very happy about being a dad, and it's as I keep saying to those guys, it's a life changer. You're somebody within your family unit becomes more important than yourself, and sometimes for footballers that's a bit confronting. I'm sure Decky will handle it well, and his partner, bless them and their child.
Let's ask you about young Mikey Moore. He's been training with you guys in the first team for the last couple of weeks. How important is that experience for him to kind of learn from likes of Sonny, James Maddison, players like when he's just 16?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done that all year. We've had guys at different time from our academy and the under-21s training with us for extended periods rather than sort of just bringing them up for a day or two. And Mikey's been really good. He's a very talented boy, and he's had a fairly disruptive season, to be fair to him. He's had a couple of injuries, but when he's performed really well. The reports I've had on him have always been outstanding, and it's been good to have him. Obviously we've had a couple of weeks without a game, and it was just good to get him involved with the first team. And again, to be fair to him, he's adapted really well. He hasn't looked out of place, it's great for him, and hopefully gives encouragement to him and sort of the other guys who are coming through.
Charlie,
thanks. Just confirm that you sort of mentioned in passing, so the expectation is Destiny will miss the Euros as well with this injury. Yeah. I just wanted to ask, with this block of games you've got coming up, the three big ones, how much do you now, or generally as a manager, think of them as a block, or is it just, let's just think about Sunday and concern ourselves with Thursday when it comes?
I think they're six big ones for us. And, when you look at our opponents, like I said, they've all got something on them in terms of, for the opposition as well. They're still playing for something. So, you understand that they're going to be six really, tough games, a great measure for us. But I think to kind of look beyond whatever your next challenge is, I say that's the nature of the Premier League, and it's what we've been trying to, try and impress on the guys, particularly the guys who are kind of, it's either their first year in the Premier League or just sort of getting their career started, that, every week is a challenge. There isn't a game where you can't be totally focused on just that opponent. And if you do have anything other than that focus, you'll pay a price. And I think we've done that a few times this year. We haven't been as focused around certain games, and, we've been found wanting short. So definitely six big games, but not looking past the one on Sunday.
Is it quite useful as well? Because obviously next season you'll be in that routine of big midweek game, big weekend game, and there hasn't been loads of that this season, but obviously this will be a kind of test run for that.
Yeah, I mean, again, you don't sort of, it's not an exact replica, but like I said, it's for us a good chance to measure ourselves. And, for me, as I said all along, it's about sort of understanding at the end of the season with everything we've had to deal with, how we've handled it, good, bad or otherwise, and what we've learned from it, and hopefully, create a foundation where, next year we're better placed to sort of be in a different position at the end of the season.
How much as well, obviously you need cool heads for a game like this, but also it will be emotional, the crowd will be really up for it. How much do you say to the players, lean in, harness that atmosphere, and how much is it about just focus on what you're doing?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to anyway when you're at a big club, or particularly if your ambition is to try and be challenging for honours, is you've got to be prepared to embrace the big games, the big occasions, and like I said, lean into them, and that's the reality of it. You can't sort of ignore it or try and sort of put it in a space where it's not going to affect you, because it will if you don't embrace it. So, we want to be a club that hopefully is challenging for honours year in, year out. That means you're going to be involved in big games, whether that's derbies or otherwise. Big games are consequence. And, again, the sort of my advice always in these kind of situations is to embrace it.
David.
Hey, Ange. From your dozens of years of managerial experience, what have those experiences taught you, in terms of being there with something to play for at the end of the season? What is the key with, a month or so to go, with a handful of games to go?
As I said, it's just about making sure you kind of, clearly embrace the challenge and try and tackle it in the way that we've kind of got us into this position in the first place. So, you know, whether that's, from our perspective, we've kind of had some inconsistencies and some challenges this year, but when we've played well, we've played a certain way and we've gone about things in a certain way, and there's no point now, when you get to the sort of most important part of the year that you shy away from that or you change your approach. You just got to sort of double down on it and sort of really be focused on just playing our football. And like I said, that's a great measure for us, because otherwise you'll never know whether where potentially you're short or whether you can be successful doing it our way.
Your former club, Yokohama F. Marinos, just qualified for the Asian Champions League final with another former protege, Harry Kuehl. Just, I guess, a line on that.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great for H and great for the club. I think they've been one other Champions League final, but they haven't been one for quite a while. So, delighted for everyone there, the players, the staff. A lot of them are still there from when I was there. And like I said, delighted for Harry. I'm sure he's loving the experience working in Japan with that group of players. And Asian Champions League final is a big game. And, I hope they do well.
And finish with George, please.
Angelo, so I just wondered, the first 10 games of the season, you had such a strong start, and then the last few weeks, it's just gone a little bit inconsistent. I just wondered, is just that a consequence of problems in January, injuries? Is there any reason for that to you?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons for it. I mean, it's, it's just part of where we are as a team at the moment and as a group. I'd be very surprised if anyone expected us to have 38 games unblemished in our first year of building a team. So I expected us to be consistent. They may have come at the start of the year, you just don't know. But we obviously, like you said, got off to a great start the first 10 games. And, it's quite simple to see what happened after that. We had some fairly significant injuries to key players, and we kind of battled our way through for a lot of that period and still stayed competitive. And the last sort of probably couple of months we've been inconsistent, where we've been really good or been off it. But again, I think that's just part of the process of where we're at as a group and as a team. And having said that, the players are still very, very competitive and in every game, and we wouldn't be in the position we were if it wasn't the case.
Heung-min Song doesn't have Harry Kane's record of scoring against Arsenal, but he always has a knack of, he's a sort of big game player. And I just wondered if you could just sum up what he's been like for you and how important he is for you as your captain in these big matches.
Yeah, look, vital, because as you said, he's got the experience, for... It'll be at least two or three of our guys. This will be their first sort of experience of a home North London derby. So, you always lean on the guys who kind of have been there, done that, and not only that, but excelled in it. And Sonny's definitely that. He's definitely been a big game player for this football club for a long time. And I think he's looking forward to it, obviously, with the added responsibility this time of being the captain. And, he's been outstanding for us all year. And I know he's looking forward to the game. I think... To be fair, the whole playing group's looking forward to the game. They're looking forward to any game at the moment, because we've just been training for 2 weeks. So, looking forward to seeing how it goes on Sunday.
And just a word on where you are at. If I'd said to you at the beginning of the season that you would lose Harry Kane, but with 6 games to go, you'd be fifth in the Premier League table, you would have taken that, wouldn't you?
No. I'd be disappointed, mate.
You think it should be higher?
No. You said to me what I would have taken at the start of the year. You didn't ask me whether I'd think we should be higher. I don't start any year thinking we're going to finish fifth. So what I'm saying is, at the start of the year, I wouldn't have settled for fifth. I would have tried to win it all. Where we are, I think, is a fair reflection of our season. I think we've been pretty good, but we have been inconsistent. We've had some challenges with injuries and suspension at different times, which are all indicative, I think, of a group that's still learning about how to be a real strong competitor in this league. But I don't think anyone would say that we're in a false position. I think we've earned where we are, both from a good and sort of not good perspective.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, we'll end the broadcast section there and move on to the embargoed section for 10:30 p.m. Who wants to start?
Andrew,
hello.
Sorry.
It would obviously mean a lot to your fans to sabotage Arsenal and to try and do it. Has it got any relevance to you?
Not in terms of that as a motivation, no. I want to win, and I understand the importance of winning against, you know, your traditional rival. I've just come down from Glasgow, mate. I've got a fair idea about what derbies mean to supporters, but I don't think I never believe your motivation should revolve around the demise of somebody else. Your motivation should always be about yourself. And I want to win because I want us to achieve something. I want us to progress. I want us to be in the position where we're fighting for the title. That's what drives me. Not the demise. Because then, if that's your kind of measure always, is to, you know, you're peering over the back fence to see what your neighbour's building, then you're going to just be, you know, you could both have the worst house on the street because everyone else is building beautiful places and you're just looking over the back fence.
Can you talk a little bit about the Glasgow derby and the emotions of that?
It was massive. And I think they always, the couple of years I was there, and you've seen it this year as well, it takes extra significance because usually they decide the title of those games. That's how tight it usually is. So it's not just, you know, beating your biggest rivals and what it means to your supporters, but you also know that, you know, in those four games, if it swings one way or another, it probably means you've lost the title as well, or it's a cup final. It's either a cup semi-final or a cup final. So they're massive games, and as I said before, you need to embrace that, understand the responsibility you have. But I never sort of, you know, even when I was up there, I never wanted to win those games because it meant that, you know, Rangers would lose. I just wanted to win because I wanted us to win, and I wanted us to win the title, and I wanted us to win those games. And I think, again, sometimes if that's your only measure, if you're, you know, just staying ahead of whoever your biggest rival is, and, you know, whilst you're fighting amongst each other, others could be going past you. So I've always sort of made it a conscious effort to know that the measure should always be, you know, ourselves and how good we can be.
It'd be nice to have Arsenal and Spurs contesting the title. It's been dominated by the North-West.
Mate, it'd be nice to see us with anybody contesting. I kind of don't care who it is, but as long as we're in there, and that's hopefully the plan. Thanks,
mate. Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, that's what I've sort of been saying all along, is that that's where I want us to be. You know, I want us to be fighting, you know, for those, you know, when it gets to this time of the year, to be one of the ones fighting for the ultimate prize. But, you know, right now we're, what, 10, 15 points behind that. And that's your measure. You know, that's what, because you can win a game, we can win on Sunday. It doesn't mean we're title contenders this year. You've got to be title contenders. You've got to do it over a course of a whole year. And, you know, that's what I'm measuring ourselves. So we know we still got some work to do. But at the same time, we're in a better position than we were 12 months ago to sort of build on that. And that has to be our aim. You know, that has to be our aim, that, you know, in 12 months' time, we're hopefully in a position where, you know, we're one of the contenders rather than trying to disrupt them. Yeah, look, it's obviously, you know, that was going to be a big challenge for us, because Harry's arguably the best number nine in the world at the moment, and he was a consistent goal scorer at this football club in the Premier League. Irrespective of the club's fluctuations, he always scored goals. So you take that out, you got to fill that breach, and we were never going to fill that breach with like for like. It was going to have to be a bit of a spread, and I think the lads have done a decent job of covering that spread. We had to, and I think, you know, we have. But I still feel, and I think I've kind of feel like I'm repeating myself, I still think that's the area of the park we need our biggest still improvement, in that front third. I still think there's a long way for us to go to kind of, if we're going to bridge that gap with the top sides, I still think it's the area of the park where we still need to have a lot of growth. But you know, in the absence of, like, such a key player as Harry, for us
you know, still be in the position we are and score the goals we have, I think is a credit to the group. Yeah, look, I think it's kind of a similar kind of narrative for all the parts of our games where, you know, there's been parts this year in the midfield, like I said, with Eves, with Pape Sarr, with Matters, where, you know, they've had some really strong performances and then they've had disruption for one reason or another. Some of it, you know, form's dip, but some of it's because of absences, you know, whether that's Matters with an injury or... You know, Pape and Biss had to go away for the AFCON, and Biss was suspended for a few games as well. So I just think, you know, if I had to sort of broad stroke a narrative for us as a club this year, it's just been really sort of stop-start kind of year. It's felt that way. Even our fixturing's been similar. And apart from those first 10 games, we haven't hit any real rhythm or consistency in performance or consistency in just, you know, gaining some traction as to how we're going to play our football. And I think whether that's Biss or, you know, Bentancur's another one who kind of missed the first part of the year, came back, got injured, came back. So, you know, there hasn't been any real, you know, for want of a better term, consistency in anything we've done. It just feels like it's been a disruptive season. I know that's how I feel internally, where it's hard for me, it's probably the hardest part for me to assess, because there's no real chunk of work where I've gone, you know what, this is, I mean, maybe part from the first 10 games, but that's not enough of a sample to say, well, you know what, whether it's individual performances or collectively, I can really sort of get a great measure of it. It just feels like I'm just taking little samples from everywhere. And but it is what it is, and we're kind of, you know, whether it's Biss or any of the other guys, like I said, we've got six games where, you know, we can sort of maybe firmer, have a better sort of sense of, you know, some of these things and where we're at.
Done.
Yeah, look, I'm reticent to say that, you know, there has to be patience. I've never felt like there has to be patience. I think what there has to be is belief in something, you know. So whether, you know, I think the reason probably Arsenal were patient was because they saw they had an outstanding manager who, you know, this was his first job and he was going to get better. And if they supported him, they could see beyond just, you know, the obvious, which is results and table standing, and say, well, you know, actually we think we've got a chance here if we stick to this process. But I don't think you should do it blindly. You shouldn't just say, well, you know what, let's just wait 2 years and then see. You know, unless the club or, you know, the people in charge feel like they are seeing that, then, yeah, I do. You have to have some patience in that process because, you know, as I said, we, you know, if I'd said at the start of the year that, you know, our sort of, you know, some of our key players would be a first-year goalkeeper, a central defender who's only had 1 year in the Bundesliga, or a left-back who's, you know, first year in the Premier League, you know. I think a lot of these things you've got to keep in the context of saying, well, what we're hoping is that we create an environment where there's going to be growth with these guys, and, you know what, that's worth persevering with. I think if you don't feel that, then there's no real need for that patience just for patience sake. I think the patience comes in when there's belief there, and then you realise, actually, we're not being patient, we're just believing in something. So I think that's the key component. Yeah, look, yeah, and I mean, that's a good point, because as I said before, I think every club's a little bit unique in how they go about sort of rebuilds and how patient they're prepared to be, or how sort of how much belief they have in a project and what's the objective. And I'm trying to steer the club away from being desperate for just anything, because, you know, there's some recent examples of clubs who have won cups and it provides no solace really if you're not performing in the league consistently and challenging for the main honour. So, but, you know, again, I'm not in charge of that. What I'm in charge of is kind of trying to build a team that I believe can succeed and succeed in a sustainable manner, but also understanding that you know, this club does have unique factors around it that may mean that at times that belief may waver. Well, I've got to make sure we stay on track with that.
And I'm not expecting to get your 11, but does Destiny's absence...
That's, you won't be disappointed, mate. Ben will start. Ben will start, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay. So you're not totally disappointed. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Darren, you got...
Hey, Darren. Hi, man.
Can you remember the first North London derby?
First North London derby, that's a good one. It would have to be kind of maybe late 70s, I think, in terms of my viewing of those kind of significant events. So, it would be back then. But I was always kind of conscious of, you know, it's one of the big derbies in sort of English football in particular. You're always kind of intrigued with the ones where, you know, there's history there, there's proximity there, all those kind of things that play into it, and you understand the significance of it. Yeah, look, I am, because I'm pretty hard on them, to be honest. I think, it was mentioned before, would you have taken fifth at the start of the year? I think a lot of people would have. And when I think of the challenges I've put to this group of players, a lot of them, like I said, first time in the Premier League, or still very young in age, or, you know, not having that sort of hardened experience, losing some, you know, we lost some real key experience from the group at the start of the year. I'm really, you know, but I haven't wavered in not making excuses for them, and I love the fact that they haven't sought that and have never sort of felt sorry for themselves. If anything, they've been the other way, and so I am. I'm purposely being hard on them, because I just feel that I just think some of the potential within this group at the moment is pretty exciting, and I don't want to limit that, and I don't want them to limit it to themselves, and embrace it, you know, and be disappointed with where we are. Be disappointed that we haven't been successful this year, even though it's our first year, because that's the kind of attitude I've had my whole sort of career, that I don't want to waste the year, I don't want to waste the season on, you know, something that might come in years to come. You know, the opportunity is here and now, and you know, I have been proud of the way, not just the young players, but even to the experienced players, guys like Sonny and others who, you know, have also embraced that challenge of saying, okay, we're a new group. It could be so easy to say, well, this is a 5-year project, but they've said, no, we want to be better than that. We want to be better than that quicker. So from that perspective, I am, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the sort of starting point for us, because, I mean, I was literally sitting in here the day before the Brentford game and he just left, you know. So you're starting a season and, you know, the most significant person at this football club maybe ever, I don't know, by the time the dust settles, has just left on the eve of the first game. And, you know, I remember just making a real conscious effort of, you know, it's the old, you know, duck just looking really graceful above the water, and just if there's any panicking happening, just make sure it's under the water where no one can see, you know, particularly the players. And again, you know, the players never batted an eyelid with that, you know, and you could because, I mean, you just see what Harry's done at Bayern this year. I mean, it's been unbelievable, you know, and you go, geez, that's a significant player that's left this football club, and yet he hasn't been as mentioned as much as he would have if we weren't successful, I think, and if we weren't scoring goals, I think his name would have come up a lot more. And I think, again, it's a credit to the group, the playing group, that they've embraced that challenge. I think these things will all, in, you know, again, hopefully I'll have a better sort of clarity in my own mind, but I just think all these things we've been through this year will help us in the medium and long term, even the disrupted season, I think, because it kind of removes any kind of excuse we can have for next year. You know, we're not going to lose another Harry Kane next year. You know, we're not going to have as disrupted a season. So we're going to probably, well, with a bit of luck, have less injuries, you know, next year. So there's nothing to clutch there. You know, we've already done that. We've been through that. We've come out the other side not too bad, not where we want to be. So I still think that will help us. But it's not nice when you're going through it, though, still.
And finish with George, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, without repeating myself verbatim, another one who's just had a disrupted season, mate. When he's been in, he's been really good for us. Then had an injury or two injuries, or started the season with an injury, and great to have him back, even the training, you can see. And he does, it gives us other options in that front third. And you know, I think we're kind of really fortunate that he was probably at his best when Sonny was away, and he kind of filled that breach. And we're talking about how we're going to cover goals we've lost with Harry. I think at different times those both have stood up, but we've rarely had them together. You know, sort of in great physical shape. So he's looked good at training this week, which is good. So he's obviously ready to go, and we're going to need him over the last six games. And it does; it gives us another good option in that front third.
For the Northland derby back in September,
yeah, I think it's always important. I mean, I think, you know, obviously when you get to certain, you know, games, you know, whether that's you know, a cup final or a cup semi-final or games at the end of the year, then it does become all about the result. But I've always felt that, you know, if the results are all important thing, then you better put it in a performance. Because if you're hoping just for a result without a performance, you know, you're leaving a lot of things to chance. So it's still, I think, about performance. But ultimately, at this time of the year, points matter for us, for the opposition. So, you know, that's the ultimate measure. And you know, we've got to put in a performance to give ourselves a chance of getting the result.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.